Again, thank you, Brother Floyd. Thank you, choir and accompanist. God bless you for leading us this morning. If you have your Bibles today, and I trust that you do, I invite you to find John chapter 3 and verse 22. John chapter 3 and verse 22. I'm going to share a message with you this morning entitled, Descending into Greatness. Descending into Greatness. Think about that title for just a moment. Those words typically don't go together. And that was the thought, the idea, the premise behind a book written in the 90s by a Chicago pastor with this title, Descending into Greatness. Normally, when we think about greatness, we don't think of descending, but we think of what? Ascending. We don't think about going down, we think about what? Going up. And so this idea of descending into greatness, while it may be foreign to our minds this morning, it is completely biblical to the mind and the Word of God that we find this morning in John chapter 3. We have come to the end of John chapter 3, and we this morning are going to transition. We are going to transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. It's next Sunday, John chapter 4, and a very familiar story as the Lord Jesus meets a woman at the well. And we're transitioning from John the Baptist. This morning is the last time that we will see and hear about John the Baptist in John's gospel. And we're transitioning from John the Baptist to Jesus the Christ as being the primary and the focal point from this point forward. If we were to ask the Lord Jesus, who is the greatest person in all of human history? Who do you think that he would say? Would he say Abraham or Jacob? Or Joseph? Would he say Moses? Would he say David? Would he say Isaiah? Would he say Paul or Peter? Well, actually, he tells us. He tells us in Luke chapter 7. And listen to what he says. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater one or greater prophet than John the Baptist. Not a greater one. Not Abraham. Not Moses. Not David. Not Paul, not Peter. Not a greater one than John the Baptist. And I would suggest to you this morning that the end of John chapter 3 reminds us of how John the Baptist descended into greatness. And if you have found John chapter 3 and verse 22, would you stand this morning if you were able, in honor of God's word, and follow along as I begin reading in verse 22 and through the end of the chapter. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. And now John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Let's pray together. Father, of these next few moments, would you please give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive unto your word. Lord, we love you. Thank you for meeting with us in this place. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. This morning, as we think about this thought of descending into greatness, I want you to see, beginning in verse 22, that Jesus and John were similar. Jesus and John were similar. Notice in verse 22, "After these things, Jesus and his disciples." Well, what are these things? Well, it's the conversation that Jesus was having with Nicodemus, beginning there in John chapter 1 and through verse 21. "But Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them." Because, brothers and sisters, that is what is necessary in order for us to be discipled by the Lord Jesus, for us to spend time with him. And disciple is not a higher class or a better class or a greater class of Christian. For if we all name the name of Christ, then we are disciples. But Jesus, spending time with his disciples and baptizing. So notice, first of all, that Jesus and John were similar in that they both had disciples. Jesus' disciples are named here in verse 22. But if you look down to verse 25, it says, "Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples." And so Jesus and John were similar in the regard that they both had disciples. It says John in verse 23 also was baptizing in Enon near Salem. Verse 24, "For John had not yet been thrown into prison." Well, not only were Jesus and John similar in that they both had disciples, but they also were similar in that they both preached the same message. Jesus and John both preached the same message. But we have to turn back to the book of Matthew for just a moment. So holding your place in John chapter 3, would you turn back to the left to Matthew chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. Listen to this. "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Well, what did he say? What was his message? Verse 2. "And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now that word repentance, what does it mean? It means to change direction. It means a change of direction or a change of behavior that is brought upon by a change of mind and a change of heart. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let that truth be settled in your mind. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And settled in your heart, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as a result, consequently, repent. Change your behavior. But that message was not unique just for John the Baptist. Because if you look over to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, the very first sermon that Jesus preached in verse 17, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say." What did he say? The exact same message. Repent or change direction, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Settle it in your mind, settle it in your heart. It's true. The kingdom of heaven and God's messenger is here before you. Consequently, change your behavior. And for some of you this morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that may need to be something that you need to do. To repent. To have a change of action, a change of behavior, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus Christ is the settled, promised Messiah, and therefore his claims and that which he said is true. And we need to respond accordingly. Jesus and John both had disciples. Jesus and John both preached. And if you'll turn back to John chapter 3, you will also see that Jesus and John both baptized. It says there in verse 22 that Jesus remained with them, his disciples, and baptized. And then in verse 23, it says that John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem because there was much water there. By the way, there are some who would like to argue that immersion is not the biblical mode of baptism. Because, Brother Richard, after you, of course you know, after all, that being in a desert environment in the Middle East, there simply is not enough water to fully immerse. Oh, really? Notice what it says. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. And so Jesus and John were similar. But I want you to secondly notice this morning, however, John was subordinate. John was subordinate. He was under Jesus. Look at verse 25. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification or about baptism. Essentially, they wanted to know, well, which baptism is correct, Jesus' baptism or John's baptism? And they came to John, verse 26, and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he's baptizing, and all are coming to him. John's disciples were concerned that Jesus was winning the popularity contest. And they were jealous. And they were concerned. And notice this profound, astute observation that John makes in verse 27. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Jesus' ministry is not going to prosper unless God is in it. That's what John was saying. You don't have to worry about whether or not Jesus is the promised Messiah or what Jesus is doing is right. You can rest assured that the eternal sovereign will not allow him to prosper unless he is from God. And here's how we know that John was the subordinate. First, in verse 28, notice that he was the forerunner. He was the forerunner. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He wasn't the focal point. But John came to point those to the focal point. John was not the Messiah, but he came as the precursor, as the forerunner to the Messiah. But not only was he the forerunner, notice in verse 29 that we know that he's subordinate because he was the friend compared to the bridegroom. John uses an analogy here, a wedding analogy. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend, and in speaking in today's vernacular or today's terminology, we would think of the friend as the best man. But the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John says, I'm not the bridegroom. I'm not the one who is receiving the bride. But I am the friend. And I'm going to assist the bride or assist the groom. I'm going to help the groom. I'm going to do whatever the groom needs. But I'm not the groom. I'm the friend. And so John reminds us again that he is subordinate. He is under Jesus because he's the forerunner, because he is the friend, and then in verse 31, because he is from earth. He says, he who comes from above is above all. Now there's a question here. Is this John the Baptist speaking, or now is this John the Apostle? Regardless, the truth remains. John the Baptist is from earth, meaning that he is fully human and he's not divine in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And so John makes the distinction there, whether it's John the Baptist or John the Apostle, letting us know, reminding us that John the Baptist is subordinate. He's similar to Jesus, but he's under Jesus. Because he's the forerunner, because he's the friend, because he is from earth. But then, starting in verse 31 again, Jesus and John were similar. However, John was subordinate. And number three, Jesus is superior. Jesus is superior. Because like we just saw, he was sent by God. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony, unfortunately. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. He was sent by God. But notice also in verse 34, not only was Jesus sent by God, but Jesus speaks for God. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God. And so when you read your Bible and when you read Jesus Christ's words, you can know that this is not just the words of a man, but this is the word of God. And it's all the word of God because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus speaks on God's behalf. But then, number three, notice, again, Jesus was sent by God, he speaks for God, and he is loved by God. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And so Jesus, while he is similar to John the Baptist, he is superior. Now, what is the application? What can we take away in applying this text to our lives this morning here at Emory Baptist Church? Well, let me share with you three. First of all, if you are here today, and if you were a follower of Christ, but yet you have never been baptized, can I invite you today to follow the Lord in believers' baptism? John the Baptist baptized. Jesus not only was baptized, but he also baptized. And that is the first act of obedience for the follower of Christ. And so if you know the Lord, he's the Savior of your life, and don't worry any about this, we have plenty of water here at Emory Baptist Church. I would invite you to follow him in believers' baptism. But secondly, in John the Baptist, we see an unbelievable example and model of Christian humility. The world today The world in which we live, the world that we find ourselves in Monday through Friday, and then even when we get to the weekends and we compete in all of our different activities, the world says, do whatever necessary to get ahead. Climb the ladder. Step on whomever you need to step on to get to the top. John the Baptist descended into greatness. He went down, and Jesus the Christ said, you will not find a greater human being in all the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can I invite you this morning to follow the example and the model of John the Baptist? Follow the example of John the Baptist in going down in your home. Husbands, as you serve your wives, going down into greatness. Wives, as you serve your husbands, descending into greatness. Parents and children, teammates and coaches, employers and employees. And brothers and sisters, don't you know that the world will certainly see the difference in our behavior if we look at John the Baptist, who descended into greatness. Listen to the Apostle Paul, as certainly he has picked up on this idea in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Listen to what he says. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Descend into greatness. But then finally, not only is there an invitation this morning here to be baptized, and an invitation to descend into greatness, but here in John chapter 3 and verse 36, for those of you who have never put your faith and trust in Christ, there is an invitation for you to be saved. Look what John says. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's not just mental assent, but it's a surrendering of your life, surrendering of your will, surrendering of your ambition and everything that you are. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But then notice this. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, shall not see life in heaven, but the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God abides on her who does not believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. And so this morning, the invitation is not only for you to be baptized, not only for my brothers and sisters in Christ to descend into greatness, but the invitation is for ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, for you to be saved today. In just a moment, after I finish praying, Brother Floyd is going to come and lead us. And we'll be standing all across the auditorium singing a very familiar song. I'll be here standing at the front, and today I would invite you to respond publicly to God's word. To be baptized, recommit your life unto the Lord, pray asking Jesus to come into your life as Savior and Lord for the very first time. To our guest, uniting with Emory Baptist Church, formally and officially through church membership, or simply just to pray, our invitation will be for you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful. As we transition in John's gospel, from John the Baptist to Jesus the Christ. But Lord, let us not overlook John's life and how he descended into greatness. And Lord, I pray today that we as followers of Christ would emulate his model, follow his example, letting the watching world see us descend into greatness. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw those this morning who need to put their faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. Convict them of their sin, give them faith to believe, and courage to confess you publicly. And Father, would you also give courage and boldness for those who need to follow through with believers' baptism. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us first. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Floyd comes to lead us, and I'm here at the front, would you come this morning in response to God's word?